Welcome to the Children's and Young Adult Novels Book Club, CYAN Book Club for short, where we connect you with the stories worth telling. I'm your host, Zach Whiting, and today is Short Story Saturday. Short Story Saturday is where I read one of my own short stories that I have written, and this is simply just for your listening enjoyment. And I write these as a writing exercise, really, to keep my writer muscle working. And I hope you enjoy. Here is today's story. The People Upstairs. There were two glass tubes on Cerebro's desk. The one on the right rose all the way to the ceiling, and at its base was a small door with a little blue light above it. The tube on the left was much shorter, and whenever its small door opened up, a vacuum turned on and sucked things inside. The rest of Cerebro's desk was clear, and that's the way he liked it. The buffoons upstairs made his life hectic enough as it was. He kept things simple where he could. Every day, Cerebro sat at his desk and waited for the little blue light on his right to turn on. When it did, he opened up the door and pulled out the container sent down from the brainstorming crew upstairs. They were in charge of new ideas for the experiment in the basement. But apparently to them, there was no such thing as a bad idea. Cerebro examined everything they sent down the tube to his desk, and he determined if any of their ideas had any value. More often than not, they were terrible. He threw most of their ideas in the trash. But occasionally, and I mean occasionally, a good idea would work its way across Cerebro's desk. In those glorious moments, he opened the tube on the left and let it suck the idea down to the basement, where soon it would arrive in the mind of a human. Only once had a bad idea been sucked down the tube and manifested in the experiment. It had been a busy day at Cerebro's desk. The crew upstairs must have had some burst of inspiration, for ideas were arriving down the tube on his right at an alarming rate. He was trying to keep up, but beads of sweat were forming on his forehead, and his arms were growing weak. Many of the ideas that day had been completely unsatisfactory, but there were a few that made Cerebro smile. He cracked open the left tube to insert an idea about floating cars, but his desk had been overrun by those dastardly slips of paper. And from a pile of ideas destined for the garbage can, a single slip of paper snaked through the air and with a whoosh disappeared down the tube on his left. Cerebro was so frightened by what had happened that he shut the tube without letting go of the floating car idea. Later, it was discovered that a human down on Earth had tried to mount a bear and use the furry animal like a horse. It didn't end well, for the bear or the human. Cerebro threw everything else from that day into the trash, and he vowed to never let such a mistake happen again. He installed an incinerator at the back of his desk, and he kept the left tube shut with a latch. He was proud to say that 3,421 cycles had passed since the last incident, and he intended to make it 3,422. The end of the week on the Earth calendar was approaching, and Cerebro was hard at work cataloging all the ideas he had evaluated over the last few cycles. The brainstorming crew had sent him an overabundance of mediocre ideas. Nothing good, nothing bad. Cerebro shivered at the thought of any idea not having a place to go. What does one do with a mediocre idea? It doesn't belong in the trash, but it's not exactly prime material for the Earth experiment either. This was a major problem, and Supervisor Corey needed to be notified. There was a soft knock on the cubicle wall behind him, and he turned to see a freckled face with round glasses peeking in. Cerebro's face soured. "What is it, Napsy?" he moaned as he went back to organizing his notes. The woman straightened her bright blue hair and took a step closer.
"Hey there, Mr. C,"
she gushed with too much excitement.
"I'm just checking in again to see if you need me to do anything."
"Like I said before, I don't need your help," Cerebro said without turning around.
"Right,"
said the blue-haired lady.
"It's just, you do know that I'm your assistant, don't you? I've only been helping Miss Sarah with her system diagnostics because you keep sending me away."
"I'm perfectly capable of doing my job on my own, thank you," Cerebro said curtly. Napsy took a deep breath and looked at the ground.
"Whatever you say, Mr. C. I'll be helping Ozzy with his personnel files for the rest of the day. If you change your mind, you know where to find me."
She turned to leave, but quickly added,
"Hey, there's a party upstairs tonight with the brainstorming crew. You should come. I'm sure they'd love to meet you."
Cerebro looked just in time to see the hem of her yellow skirt whip around the corner.
"Me, go to a party with the imbeciles upstairs?" he muttered to himself. "No, thank you."
He quickly finished his work and made his way for the exit. He passed by the other managers on his way out. They were feverishly working in their cubicles, barking orders at their assistants, who each looked a lot like Napsy, with their yellow skirts and brightly colored hair. It was all so chaotic, and he wondered why the other managers never planned ahead for the weekend. With a nose high in the air and a grin on his face, he headed out of the office. Of course, none of the other managers planned ahead. That was a good idea, and only he ever had those. Later that evening, or perhaps it was the morning, she couldn't tell. Sarah Bella, one of the other managers, snuck her way through the labyrinth of cubicles until she found the cleanest desk with two glass tubes protruding from it. She tiptoed closer, peering over her shoulder to make sure no one was looking. Then she flicked open the tube on the left and inserted a folded piece of paper. The tube sucked it in so fast that it nearly made her jump and scream. Instead, Sarah frantically shut the door of the tube and scurried away.
"What am I doing?"
she whispered to herself as she slinked toward the exit. Her mind was reeling with all the protocols she had just broken. The company mandated that every idea was to be inspected by Mr. Cerebro Cortez himself before being submitted to the experiment. But she had just sent an unfiltered idea down to Earth.
"What was I thinking?"
she scolded herself. Then the idea on her slip of paper returned to her mind. Ah, yes. That was why she had risked tampering with the system. She had attended the party upstairs with the brainstorming crew, and some of their imaginative energy must have rubbed off on her. In the middle of a game of Twister, an idea had popped into her head. A golden idea, one that would revolutionize fashion and travel. She quickly ditched the game and found a scrap of paper and a pen, and wrote down her idea. "Parachute pants," she scribbled in perfect cursive. It was a great idea, perhaps the greatest ever created, but she knew that Cerebro would not approve. Oh, that grump of a man would throw her precious idea into the trash, or worse, into the incinerator. No, her idea was worth so much more. So she had taken matters into her own hands and used the tube on his desk herself. She smiled as she stepped onto the elevator at the far end of the room. She had done it, and without a single hiccup. The idea was on its way to Earth, and Cerebro wouldn't be the wiser. Unknown to her, the latch on the small glass tube didn't quite settle right after she used it, and in the dark, with no one around, it popped open. Cerebro arrived the next morning in his typical weekend attire. A cream button-up shirt with a brown vest and bow tie. Already, the office was rustling with assistants, performing whatever tasks the other managers asked them to do. Sarabella had a vein popping out of her forehead as she yelled at a purple-haired girl.
"I told you to replace 3 capillarical proton diffusers, not all of them! Do you realize what that might do to the mainframe?"
The woman continued her scolding as Cerebro walked by. But for a moment, Sarabella's eyes met his, and she froze mid-sentence. He gave her a nod and continued through the cubicles, and soon the scolding returned to full volume.
"I tell you to do one thing, I can have you 5 minutes, you know."
Napsy was waiting at Cerebro's cubicle as he approached.
"Oh, Mr. C, you're finally here," she said.
The worry on her face gave him concern. He had never seen her like this before.
"I don't know how it happened, but something's wrong with your idea tube thingy."
Cerebro rolled his eyes and huffed over to his desk. "It's a quantum-generated bypass ideizer with a direct connection to the..." Oh no! The horror that was his desk filled his view. The receiver tube on the right was shattered at the bottom, and pouring out of it was a mountain of paper that covered his entire desk. Apparently, the brainstorming crew had done more than host a party last night. They had jammed the system with ideas, but that wasn't the worst part. As his eyes scanned across his desk, they came to rest on the shorter tube on the left. The door was open, and slips of paper were actively being sucked into the vortex of air and out of sight. "No!" he shouted as he dove for the tube and shut the door, securing the latch in place so it wouldn't open again. He turned to Napsy, fury dancing in his eyes like the flames of a blazing fire. "What did you do?" he demanded.
"Me?"
Napsy responded, fear in her voice.
"I didn't do anything. I would never mess with your quantum-generated blooper tube. You've always told me if I ever touched your work, you'd have me terminated."
As angry as he was, Cerebro had to admit that the girl had never disobeyed his orders or ever done anything to compromise his work up to this point. More calmly, he said, "If it wasn't you, then who? Who could have done this?" He wanted to find the person responsible, but his mind was too busy calculating just how bad this whole situation might be. There was no telling how long that tube had been open, and at the rate it was pulling slips of paper into itself, there could be hundreds of ideas swimming through the air on Earth. There was bound to be a few good ideas in there, but Cerebro knew better than most just how many of those hundreds were destined to be bad. Something had to be done, and quickly, or else the ideas would take root. After that, it would be too late. Determination washed over him, and he looked at Napsy and grabbed her by the shoulders. "Listen to me. I have to go down there and retrieve those ideas before they wreak havoc on the world. I need you to watch over my desk while I'm gone. Can you do that?" Napsy looked up at him with wide brown eyes.
"You mean you want me to run the Quanto Idea Magnator?"
"Quantum Ideizer. And I just need you to make sure nothing else goes down to the experiment. I'll only be gone for a couple days. Probably. You don't even have to read the ideas. Just organize them somehow so I can review them when I get back." Cerebro took her silence as a yes, and he hurried through the cubicles toward a large metal door with the words "Do Not Enter" painted on it in large red letters. There was no time to waste, and this door was the fastest way down to the experiment. He pushed a large red button on the wall, and a siren went off, with lights flashing as the large metal door began to creak open.
"Wait!"
called Napsy. She had frozen by his desk, piecing together what her boss had just told her, before she snapped awake and chased after him down the corridor.
"I don't think I can do this. What if you end up down there for good? Is it even possible to come back? Mr. C, you can't go!"
"But I have to, Napsy," he shouted over the noise of the door. "There's no other way." The door was open enough for him to fit, so Cerebro stepped through the gap and onto a large metal square that he assumed was the floor of a giant elevator system. A light turned on when he stepped onto the panel, and a noise joined the chaos that sounded familiar to Cerebro. The noise grew louder and louder, eventually drowning out the siren outside the door. It was the sound of a strong current of air, traveling through a tube at an incredible speed. Cerebro's eyes grew wide, and he looked down just in time to see the floor beneath him vanish. He floated in the air above a large glass tube, and then, just like all of his good ideas, he was sucked down to a world he had never known. Napsy watched her boss disappear, and unfortunately, she was standing a little too close to the open door. The air was pulling at her, and she reached out for the closest cubicle wall, but it was too far away. In a flurry of office supplies, the blue-haired girl flew through the air and down the tube after Cerebro. Down the two of them went, swirling and spiraling uncontrollably through a kaleidoscope of colors and sounds. Minutes passed before they felt everything slow and their bodies floated upright again. Finally, they came to a halt just above a patch of green grass. Then, in a flash of light, buildings and trees appeared around them. The song of birds and insects rose to their ears, and with slow realization, they knew they were standing on the edge of a busy street in the middle of a human city. Napsy was frozen in place, her eyes wide and looking around.
"We're on Earth,"
she sputtered out. Cerebro was still in awe of this new reality, but he shook himself and looked over at her with even more shock than before. Napsy, he said, urgency suddenly flooding his system. "Napsy, what are you doing here? What about the ideizer? I told you to watch over it for me. Napsy was trying to look at him, but her eyes kept shooting around at the new world all around her.
I'm sorry, Mr. C. It was the tube. It sucked me in after you before the door closed.
Cerebro's mind raced for a solution to their predicament, but could only think of one.
Never mind that, he forced himself to say. We need to find those ideas. The sooner we do, the sooner we can get back home.
He turned and stepped right in front of a blue car that screeched to a halt inches from his legs. A face with a long mustache popped out on the side.
Hey, it said. What's the big idea?
Cerebro gave the man a nervous wave, then grabbed Napsy by the arm and scurried across the street.
Where are we going?
She asked, only half caring about the answer she'd get.
To find those ideas, remember?
Cerebro said as he rushed her down the sidewalk.
Do you even know where we're going?
No, he admitted, but I'm following my gut.
Well, tell your gut to go slower. I feel dizzy.
Cerebro turned them down another busy street, and in a moment they were lost in a sea of people. Had it not been for Napsy's hair, Cerebro might have actually lost her. But together, they carved a path through the crowd, searching everywhere they could for those slips of paper with potentially tragic ideas written on them. But Cerebro and Napsy were unaware that ideas could float around in the air unseen for days on Earth. They were completely invisible to the naked eye. Cerebro and Napsy were also unaware that all 387 ideas from the previous night had already taken root in one human mind. Who is it? You might be asking. Who has all those ideas crammed inside their head? But that is the wrong question. The real question is, how do you feel today? Any new spark of inspiration? Or perhaps a desire to try something new? Tell me, how does it feel to have so many ideas inside that little mind of yours? If I were you, I wouldn't let them go to waste. If I were you, I would share them with someone special and see if any of them hold any water. Who knows? Your idea might be the greatest one that Earth has ever known.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to read the written versions of our book reviews or our short stories, you can check out our website linked in the description below. If you have a book that you'd like us to read and review on the podcast, you can submit those suggestions using the link below as well. Make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss any future episodes, and thank you for leaving reviews. It helps us reach more people with the Cyan Book Club, and it helps us share the stories worth telling with the world. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you in the next episode.